All right, we're looking at an article on March 10th, 2019. The Gospel Coalition is the site for this. You can't live stream church. You can't live stream church. Last year, the Georgetown University Athletic Department tweeted, and then I guess we can't actually read. Let's see, Georgetown will... Okay, I got it. With the world trending towards virtual reality, we ask you to take a step back and experience the at Georgetown Hoops actual reality seating section. So they're suggesting that you come to the ball game.
Yeah, spend a little money on the gate, you know, the gate ticket, actually, and maybe a snack at the concession stands. Fill the stadium,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I've always heard that if you watch the game, the football game. I don't think I've ever been to a professional football game. Who's been to a professional football game around here?
We have.
Yep.
Together.
All three of you?
Well, no, he didn't go with us to the our game, but we went together.
Right. Have you been to a professional football game, Nate?
Panthers and Cowboys.
Have you went to one?
No. I've been to a NASCAR race, and that's for sure better on TV.
I went to a Michigan State
and
Lansing Boy Scout, and we got in free if we seated people, so that was the closest thing I came to being in the stands and watching a football game. But I've always heard you can get better game at home than at the stands.
Yeah, with the camera angles. Yeah.
With the cameras and getting to see everything.
The comfort of
your
couch.
I mean,
at the level we were at.
Yes. When you're at the when you're on the top row of the seats overlooking the wall of the stadium.
Yeah.
They look like ants. You basically you watch the big screen.
And I couldn't tell who possessed the ball or if it was a completion.
Yes. That's it.
So is there any value in going to these things anymore? You know, I mean, why? I got my iPhone.
Well, and that's a separate conversation in and of itself is how much of
tailgates.
Of enjoying the memories of the live event is really being caught if you're there recording the whole thing. Like, I mean, you know, how much of the video are you actually going to go back and watch later? You know, if you're going to share the highlights of whatever you experienced, it'll probably be from, you know, the professional source. But that's kind of where it's going is, you know, people, and it's not just sporting events. It's concerts. It's everything.
Yeah, but I will say this. You can't catch a baseball watching TV.
This is true.
Yep. So and those who purchase the tickets, I want to read the next sentence because I think that we need to get into it. Those who purchase tickets in the actual reality seating section were asked to leave their phones at home or drop them off at a phone check-in station. Phoneless fans were encouraged to actually... I can't even believe I'm reading this. Let me.
What?
You know.
Yeah, and from
insanity.
A secular organization.
Talk face to face, and get this: watch the game. No way.
And this is last year, is in like 2018, not 1988.
So this, John, this would be like going to church. And singing.
Yeah, exactly.
Singing.
Speaking to the people in the next pew.
Just as attending a basketball game has changed in our hyper-connected age, so has attending church. With increasing frequency, churches are encouraging folks to attend church virtually through an online live stream. Although a live stream can be a great tool to serve people unable to attend, it can't replace the experience of actually going to church. The sentence says it can't, but here's the reality. It already has. I mean, we have people traveling more now than ever with the idea that I'll just get the live stream. I'll just connect in. And wait till we go to 5G, right? Isn't 5G, they're working on...
Between that and fiber optic, you know, internet being the next big thing, I could definitely see that.
I think AT&T already has 5G.
Right, but I mean 5G everywhere. Like,
yeah,
where I mean, we'll
standard.
Just breathe 5G. I
yeah,
mean,
now you can't get a phone that's not 4G. And a couple years ago, you were paying premium prices to get 4G service.
Yeah, with speeds like that, we'll have to just fake people. We'll have to, halfway through the scene, we'll just pause. Like there's something.
Because
there won't be any glitching.
Well, and that's one of the things thinking about, you know, in light of, we just had a basketball game here Friday night as a fundraiser for a local ministry. And at halftime, the high school cheer squad started to panic because the internet went down, or the connection of the computer, and then it was, what are we going to do? And you almost wonder, this is where this goes if we're going to push live stream churching, is you're going to put the Holy Spirit speaking to you in the hands of technology. Because the fact of the matter is, if I'm driving down the road, if I'm sick at home, and I understand there's times in which it's helpful, But if that's going to be the norm, then I'm putting the Holy Spirit's convicting power, the speaking of God's word to me, in the hands of technology. Because the fact of the matter is, if I'm sitting in the room while the pastor is preaching, there's limited connective issues. There will not be a buffering. There will not be, sorry, the site can't be reached. There will be no power outages that will hinder the Holy Spirit's working, because you're not allowing those things to come in the middle.
But it is a great tool, right?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's probably one of the best ways of ministering to shut-ins. I think of the church I grew up in, where I was actively involved in the sound booth and making CD duplicates for all these people. And it was just like they had stacks and stacks of CDs they were making all the time for all these shut-ins. And now it's like, do you have internet? Great. Here's this website. Just log in here and you know, you can view it on your own time, or you know, even with cell phones now, because it's hard to get a phone that doesn't have internet. You know, or the capability of logging onto Wi-Fi, that, you know, you're able to put sermons in places that you wouldn't be able to before. I think we have a missionary on the other side of the planet that I think if it were not for live stream and internet radio and things like that, his ministry would be drastically different. So, I mean, there's definitely effective tactics to it. It's just, is it the blunt force of what it is that you're doing?
Blessings of a live stream. Nathan.
My church has a live stream, and it helps many people. I think of one church member whose health legitimately prevents her from coming to worship with the church family. Every Sunday, she has her iPod locked and loaded with the live stream, and for her, it is a great blessing to remain somewhat connected to her church family. In other instances, people traveling overseas have been able to listen online, and EMTs have been able to tune in when work has prevented their attendance. For such scenarios, and probably a thousand others, the live stream is truly a gift. But don't be mistaken, church isn't something you can get solely online. So, you know, Brian, to your point, like I would say for about 3 years, online streaming for me was a huge blessing in the area of growth, but I didn't let it replace my attendance to a local church. And I would say that would be, you know, my problem is that if I forsook the assembling of myself in that local body for that 3 years and replaced it with John Piper every Sunday, then it becomes an issue and problem.
Yeah. So what do you say, Nathan, to the person who says, I'm in Podunk, State X, and there aren't any good churches in my town? I visited all six of them, and they don't preach the gospel. They're not good churches. I don't even want to have my family in that assembly.
You got to find a church. So for, you know, I lived in outside of a town of 200 people, I went to a public school that had 250 kids, K through 12, and that was something that, you know, my mom was, or family in general, was willing to do, is travel an hour to get to a local church, because that was the case. There wasn't, I mean, there was 20 churches within 15 minutes, but none of them worth attending. But then I'd also say if you're, you know, somewhere in some part of the country where it's just not doable, like, you've got to find the best local church available and place yourself in service and help that church be better. And at the same time, I'd encourage you to listen to this, and this online. Here's this resource to help you grow.
And would that be a Lutheran church? Could you do an Episcopalian church? Could you do, I mean, where are you going with that? What, I mean,
like-minded, I guess. I mean, somewhat. To some degree. So, like, can a Baptist go to a Presbyterian church if it's the only one within an hour and a half? Yeah, maybe, because it's hard to do church and be actively involved in a local church that's 2 hours away. So to some degree, I guess you might have to go out of the Baptistic setting.
At what point do you put your house on the market?
Mm-hmm. What point do you start a church?
Yeah. What? You know, that was the other thing I was thinking about, you know, with the family.
Bible study.
You know,
dad, you start leading an in-home Bible study. That, you know, if that's truly the case. But I know the knee-jerk reaction, you know, for us is, well, you start teaching the Bible. But I think most of the lay people in our churches aren't going to be like, well, I couldn't teach the Bible. Like, I could tell you the stories, you know, the narratives of Scripture, but the deep theological truth, the getting into a text and breaking it down, I don't think that meant most people would feel like they are comfortable with doing that.
So, Jack, you said start a church. Brian, you said put your house on the market.
Just a legitimate question, because I'm thinking about, you know, we've had two different extremes of that category of people in our church. I can think of a family that they sold their property 45 minutes, an hour outside of town, and bought locally right here in the neighborhood, and that because this church meant so much. And then there have been other families that started attending, and it 40 minutes, 45 minutes was a far drive when they first started, but then eventually it was, well, now we're stopping because of, and, you know, it's at what point do you put your house on the market? And I know that the follow-up question is, well, my job's here. And it's like, well, which would you rather do? Drive 25 minutes to your job every day and a half hour to your church the other direction to split the hour? Or do you stay where your church, or where your job is close to your home for 5 days a week, and then you sacrifice on Sunday to make the longer drive?
And let's go further back. Let's go before live streaming. We had the radio preachers. And I heard a guy talking one time. He had pastored a church, and he had a radio show. And he was saying that people will call me up on or send me messages for the radio show and say, oh, you're my pastor. And he's like, no, I'm not. You're a radio audience listener. I'm glad that you're getting something from me, but I'm not your pastor. I'm not going to drive to your town and see you in the hospital. I'm not going to come and collect a love offering to deliver groceries to your doorstep. I'm not going to come over and do a house repair with somebody who's a carpenter in the church.
Right, but I would argue that probably, I could be wrong, and certainly open to being corrected, but I would argue that probably that's the pre-multi-site campus days.
Yes, it was.
I think more and more, Jack, preachers are saying, I am your pastor. My name's James McDowell. I have a house in Chicago, but since we have a Harvest Bible Church in Naples, Florida, and I live stream into that campus, I am your pastor. Yes, I'll never meet you. I'll never visit you in the hospital, but I want to have a church of 50,000. And the only way I'm going to get a church of 50,000 is if I have 29 multi-state campuses from Chicago all the way down to Florida. I mean, I think your preacher understood Bible theology. Mm-hmm. But the evolution of the ability to live stream and all this, we've lost sight of what it means to be part of the local assembly.
Or to be called a shepherd.
Yeah, the person who pastors your heart, the one who's going to give an account. I can't imagine giving an account for a 5-site campus all over Harnett, Cumberland, Hoke counties. How would you do that?
I think it's partly because even just in American life, and it's gone to the church as well, we view this as a product. And follow me if you will. There used to be a day that I couldn't have Florida oranges because there were no trucks to bring oranges from Florida to me up in Michigan. And so I had to eat oranges that when they were in season, and, you know, I couldn't have avocados from California either because they didn't grow in my state. Well, with technology like trucking and now the internet with data, what I can do is I can tailor my life to be as, I'm just going to use this word and people are going to get upset, too bad, selfish as I want, because it's when I want it, you know, I get what I want when I want it. And so here's my bottom line. If you've built your life around the church and you know it and you can be honest and you'll honestly look in my eye and tell me you built your life around Christ in the church and you use live stream, I'm good. But if you're doing the second thing where it's really just making your life easier, so this thing with Christ and all that can just be as quick as possible, get in and out and make it streamlined, then we've got a big problem. Mm-hmm. Because, Brian, to your point, when you go on a realtor site, location, 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 second thing, schools. Mm-hmm. Parents make big decisions about where they're going to live based on the school that their kids will go to. Why?
That's important, John.
It's important. Why? Because they realize if you go to a cruddy school, you're going to get a bad education. What's not on the list? The church. Mm-hmm. That's an afterthought. So if that's you, wake up. Wake up.
Yep.
Eternity's coming. Wake up.
Well, and I also think, you know, on that note, it's also the same idea on, is this your lifestyle, or is this a temporary season? You know, like the one he mentioned, the EMT. Maybe, you know, we've got EMTs in our ministry who, you know, certain times they're on shifts, or firefighters, that they're on a shift that they can't be at church. Sure. That's the exception. We're not talking about those individuals. We're talking about the ones that make the conscious decision and have the free will to choose to be at church or to choose to do something else, but because technology has made it available, they choose something else, and church is the afterthought.
Yeah, and it keeps on coming up. It's not as though we're attempting to have only a single conversation around here, but at what point am I neglecting the local assembly? I become a runner. I become a, whatever you want. Pick. I don't care. It's something, a marksmanship team. Yeah. And all the competitions are on Sundays. At what point is it too many? Yeah, I'm catching the live stream in between matches. Yeah, I'm at the range and I'm looking at my iPhone watching live streaming and I'm in back and forth. Wait a minute. Is that the same as being in the assembly when I hear Sister So-and-so share her heart with her prayer request? And I don't get that on the live stream. No matter how much you as the pastor repeat what's being said, you don't get the emphasis, you don't get the her little voice quaking as she's sharing a request. You
don't do that? Well, when on Wednesday night, I
you try to replicate that?
Yeah, I try to replicate all of that.
Well, and here's the other thing. It doesn't go both ways on the live stream.
No.
Sister So-and-so doesn't get the comfort of your presence.
Yep.
And
yep.
So, let me tell you something. When we go to T4G and there's 10,000 singers, it's a whole big difference than the 8:30 service here at Berean on Sunday mornings. Why? Sheer numbers. Mm-hmm. And so if there were more people in the 8:30 service, it would sound like the singing of the 10:45 service, but it doesn't. Why? Sheer numbers. What impacts sheer numbers? Your attendance. So when you don't come, you're impacting the singing. And, oh, by the way, when I think back when I was a child, our church went through this time, and maybe your guys' did too. We, you know, it had small numbers, but then it started to grow. And as it grew, the singing of the hymns was better. And so people would want to stay and sing and fellowship, and it was like this atmosphere. You remember when the Blue Chapel picture's down there, when it was packed to the gills, and just how it was when you sang, and everybody was there fellowshipping? It goes both ways. And so what happens is with the live stream, you don't give anything back to the church. That's why I call it a product. You're receiving a product, you're giving nothing mm-hmm. back. That is not the church. The church
well, I think expects those, you to serve. I think those people, well, you know, I give whatever amount they give, and that enables the church to maintain a live stream ministry. And so that's, you know, that's my checking the block. But Pastor, back to your comment about whatever it is that's taking you away. Christ explicitly told his followers not to lay up for yourselves treasures on this earth. And so you really have to stop and think about every activity that takes you away from being at church outside of the mandated providing for your family, which is also a command. Are you laying up treasures here, or are you laying up treasures in eternity?
Because we're to what's in, you know, what's important in your life. I know when I was a kid growing up, I played Little League, and I remember the shift where our games, you know, we're always on Saturday, and I remember the year they shifted them to Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I remember asking my dad, you know, I wanted to keep playing Little League. I love baseball. And he said,
"You're done."
No. He said, "It's your decision whether you play or not, but," he said, "you will still attend church, and then if you can get to the game late or whatever's left, or if it's an afternoon game, I'll take you. But it's your choice, but you will still go to church every Sunday." And at that, you know, I weighed it out, and I just said, yeah, it's not worth it, you know, because then it's, you know, I'm going to miss, you know, out of however many games you play, you know, half of them you miss because they're in the morning, and a third or the, another 25% you get to play three innings, and then, okay, I might admit to go to four games and actually play in them. And I just decided, you know what, in light of the big picture, it's just not, it's not worth it. I'm not going to even continue playing in the little league, in the secular league, because of that.
Well, and I didn't play little league sports, but I distinctly remember my eighth grade year, and you guys didn't know me then, but as a 13, almost 14-year-old boy, I was the size I am now, 6'4", 280 pounds. And I had a local high school coming after me, even though I was in a Christian school, for me to join their football team as a freshman. And I remember pleading with my parents that I could do that. My parents, not that it would take me away from church, but that it was going to take me away from the Christian school where they had, you know, had put me. And I remember being upset about it. I was just like, seriously, like, don't you realize, like, I could really do well. It would be a ton of fun to play. And it was not fun for the first couple years. Looking back on it now, it's like, you know what? Okay, thanks, Mom and Dad. You didn't give me what I wanted, and I'm grateful for it. And I don't think that our culture today...
You saved a lot of injuries that you're not waking up every morning with.
Yeah, aside from that. But our culture today is too driven on what can I do to make life better now? What's going to set my child up for the best success later? And it, I mean, when it comes to travel ball, we're looking at scholarships for, you know, paying for college. When it comes to, you know, for our students choosing to work, because I've noticed that in youth ministry, that as soon as a kid hits 16, 17, 18 years old, they get their first job. Suddenly becoming an employee and working is the biggest thing to them. And it's like you have the rest of your life to work. And I don't, and I see it all the time, and I don't get why parents are encouraging their student to get a job that takes them away from church. If it's okay to do it when you're 17, it'll be okay to do it. And if you have choices in the matter, because to be honest, at 17 you have an option on where you're working to make a choice that you're going to work for a place that's not going to take you away from church. And the better you instill those habits and those principles in your children as they're growing up, the more it will carry them as they go on through life.
Yeah, and what's interesting is most of these places, if you're a good worker and you say, you know, I can work 6 days a week, but not Sundays. Yep. If you're a good worker, they'll work with you. Because it's hard to get good workers. It's just hard to get good workers. And the better you are as a worker, the more leverage you'll have towards that end.
Yep. Blessings of attending church. In the Bible, church doesn't refer to an event, but a people. The church is a family that you belong to by faith in Christ Jesus. When you trust him, you get his family, the church, for better or worse. The event of Sunday morning worship with preaching, prayer, singing, and fellowship is what the church does when it gathers, but family is what the church is. As a family, the New Testament authors call believers to love one another, bear with one another, forgive one another, and more than 50 additional one another commands. The author of Hebrews writes to Christians, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another." Hebrews 10:24-25. When we neglect to meet together, now easier than ever before with live streaming, we're missing out on the one anothering that occurs when the church gathers as a family. Virtual attendance also fosters a consumer mentality. Yes, you can consume a sermon and stay in the know via live stream, but you won't be able to fully participate in the joys, sorrows, and God-intended discomforts of family life. Church shouldn't be something we consume, but something we participate in. To some degrees, church is supposed to be uncomfortable. Since the church body is called to love fellow sinner saints, exercise patience, gentleness, and sacrificial service, and walk together through the messiness of family life in a fallen world. Like physical exercise, discomfort is part of the plan to grow us.
Yeah, and I would just like to pause right now and just say, I've been extremely encouraged and blessed by the number of folks that have been coming out on Sunday night at 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. at our own church here. Because I've noticed it's been a pretty good number. But we all know that the number is going to be lower than the number that come on Sunday morning. Every church in America, I would assume, is pretty much has that thing happening. And I think the level to which people see this as Sunday night especially, this is my family, this is my place, this is my fellowship, you know, that is what drives them coming back on Sunday night.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, I met a man this past Sunday evening sitting over in our section that has only attended Sunday evening services and started attending because he found us via our live stream. So it's not that we're against live stream. We're willing to spend the money on the infrastructure and have that service available. But there's a philosophical agenda behind why we do it, and it's not a consumer mentality. It's an assisting the shut-in. It's an aiding the weekend worker. It's helping, you know, get people caught up if they're deployed or, you know, things like that, keeping them involved. It's not intended to be a replacement.
And, you know, just that statement he makes about struggling through things, changing dirty diapers is not a fun task. But there are people who regularly do that so people can sit in the auditorium and listen to a sermon or sing together. And those people who do that disgusting task together in the nursery, they build a bond that they wouldn't have otherwise. Mm-hmm. The people who struggle in ministry with me in the orchestra as we're struggling to get something right and it's just not working together. And, you know, some people can get it and some people can't. And, you know, sometimes there's frustration there, you know. But at the end of the day, we're worshiping together. We're striving towards a goal. And it grows us both musically, fellowship together, and also tunes our hearts together to see that, you know, yeah, it's a musical problem we're having, but we're not having a worship problem. Because even though the music part's not perfect, we didn't get it perfect. The worship part is there. And so those are things that don't happen unless you actually get together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of Matt Chandler, because one thing he does repeatedly before listening to like his sermons online or from his church is he makes a pre-recorded announcement that this is not to replace your local body. You know,
get up and go to church now.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's why I get requests to try, could you put the words at the bottom so we can sing along? And I always philosophically struggle with that because I don't want to make it easier for you to hang out at church week after week.
Mm-hmm.
I want there to be a better, you know, it's better when I go to church. You know, we're trying to always work on the sound and it's difficult to try to get that live sound just right. But, you know, how hard do I work at that? You know, so it's just like not missing, you know, I can be there and not be there. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, there needs to be a noticeable difference. It just wasn't as good when I wasn't there.
Well, if I stay home, I can stay in my PJs and sit on my favorite couch and have my blankie there. And it's all about me.
Well, who's preaching if you stay at home?
I can dust.
dust.
I can dust. I can dust, put laundry. Right. You know, I can pause you.
What did you say? Let me go look in the Bible. That's not right.
Vacuum the floor. No. There's none of that.
He does have a mute button.
I can do a plethora of things and
feel productive.
That's I watch basketball games while I cough and think.
How much do you really watch the basketball game though?
Well, it's in the perfect. You're right though. I don't. But you know, I got that sound going in the background.
Well, it's the same idea, right? I got that sound going on in the background.
Angela and I were trying to watch a TV show the other night, and I was trying to write a paper at the same time. and I found myself writing the paper, and I would hear something. I'm like, okay. And now I'm watching the show. I mean, like, literally watching the show, and I'm like, okay, Angela, look. I got 3 paragraphs left. Can we just pause this for a moment?
Yep.
As long as you didn't start typing what they were saying.
Yeah.
But you can't.
Danny Reagan.
But the thing of it is,
Danny Reagan.
You can't do both of these things simultaneously.
Not effectively.
And that's the danger of really and truthfully, you're not gonna. I'm not gonna doze off sitting in the pew.
No. I don't know. Some do.
Well, and then there's the flip side.
I promise you, if I'm on my couch. I'm missing Pastor Sermon.
Then there's the flip side of where we started with the tweet from Georgetown asking them to put their phones away. Because we're having this conversation about don't replace the physical with the technological. But yet we have people that, well, I don't do that. I come to the physical, and all they do is spend time engrossed in the technological while they're here.
Yeah.
So there is a pit on both sides of the road.
Yeah, somebody was telling me the other day, I can't remember who it was, but they're involved in the public school system. Oh, yeah, I remember now. And a super credible guy, really smart guy. Anyway, he was saying because public school kids are allowed to have their phones, that they take them away from them on test days. But they only put them far away that they can't touch them. They still need to be able to see their phones. So as long as they can see where their phone is,
they don't freak out.
They don't freak out. That's exactly right. That they don't. As long as they can see it, so that. So,
hey, you know somebody's not stealing my phone.
Right. Okay. I need to see it, and as long as I can see it, then I'll take my test without touching it. But if they can't see their phone, elevated blood pressure rates, senses of discomfort. I mean, this is an extension.
Separation anxiety.
What is the app where you take pictures?
Instagram,
and that's all you do. You just take a picture. You don't.
No, Snapchat.
Snapchat.
All right. Snapchat is the big one because 10 seconds it's up and then it deletes away.
Right.
It's almost they keep
superficially.
But it's almost impossible for a parental or any other type of authority to monitor activity. Right.
No accountability.
Right. So I was talking to a young man, and he's in a dating relationship. He and his girlfriend send each other, he said, on average, 200 pictures a day.
Wow. From Snapchat.
Just do the math on that. An eight-hour day.
What do you get done?
Yeah.
If I bothered my wife 200 times a day, she would say, stop it!
Well, you don't understand. We have unlimited data because Bianca ran us over the limit while she was at Methodist from Snapchat. Because it has a higher data transfer rate and stuff like that. And we were just like...
200 pictures a day!
Wow.
If you do one a minute, that's only 60. You know, just think about that. I mean...
One an hour? No.
1 minute, 60.
Oh, yeah.
Right, so in 3 hours of every minute, you know, so every other minute is 6 hours. Every third minute is now, 9 hours? I mean...
As long as it wasn't all 200 pictures of him, because then... This is my paper I'm working on. This is what I'm currently eating. Oh, this is the car next to me at the red light.
So you're familiar with it then. Do you do it?
No, I just think it's completely stupid that people take pictures of all that stuff. I mean, I stopped using Snapchat. I had one for a while. I was like, this is dumb. So I use Instagram now, but I use it more for like a memory file that, you know, okay, here's another picture of the kids. Someday I'll be able to go back and look. Hey, look, here's a transition of Michael and Liam growing up and more of a photo book of memories, but... The Instagram and even Facebook now, they have these stories that it's, you know, it's the live, just here, only here for a short time, and then it's disappearing, you know.
Well, you can permanently leave it, or you can have it expire off.
Yeah.
So you're having yours permanently on there so that you'll be able to go back to them? Is that what you're
doing? Like...
Well, even the story you can do.
Well, I mean, the story is more of the... You can choose whether it goes into your story or it goes into your feed. I've done like 4 stories in my life, but for me it's just the feed, and it's usually my kids or, oh look, I got a new tool. Yay, adulting.
But I tell you what, the story is getting more traffic than a normal feed.
Yeah.
When you look at the analytics, since, you know.
It's the thing I'm not concerned about. There are like 8 people that like my pictures.
Since we turned that over to a 24-year-old who's... well-versed in that area, the analytics have went through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
See, I just laugh when someone follows me on Instagram because I don't do anything with it.
Yeah.
It's like watching paint dry. I'm like, sucker. Yeah.
Don't trade actual church for virtual church. To put it bluntly, virtual church isn't church. When church members live stream Sunday worship because it's in their only option, it's still the church family's responsibility and privilege to visit, pray with, and care for them so that they can stay as connected as possible. And for everyone who can attend, however, it is my hope that you'll find a local church family to join. After experiencing the goodness of church family, you won't want to trade it for a virtual reality. The next time you're tempted to stay in your house slippers and sweatpants on Sunday morning and tune in via the live stream, go ahead and wear your sweats and slippers to church. Choose the actual reality.
He said, go ahead and wear your...
Yep.
That's what he said? Yeah, go... No.
No.
I go to Walmart like that. I don't know.
But not Target. You got to dress up if you go to Target. Sure.
Again, you know.
Please go to Walmart. I'm one of those guys who Snapchat.
Yeah, I know he's being tongue in cheek.
That'd be worth an Instagram story.
You know, we go to work. We go to work in the right uniform. We go to work on time. We don't think about virtual streaming work. We go to work. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because it's important.
We get paid to do that.
Although I think more and more the current generation is thinking about church, working virtually.
Sure, you're right, John. You're right.
This whole idea that I'm going to, you know, be the master of Fortnite, and someone's going to pay me, you know, six-figure salary to do that.
I would like to throw in the comment here at this point that as a parent of small children, it is okay to stay home a weekend if your kids are sick. Because nothing's more frustrating as a parent of small children than finding out on Tuesday my kids are now sick because so-and-so decided they needed to bring their kid to church on Sunday. And now 24 hours after being exposed, my kids are sick and the only place they go is church. And the grocery store. And it's
imagine
like,
their immunity,
you get,
though.
You get them out more and more involved, they'll have more
exposure. Yeah, I know.
And they'll build up their resistance.
But even, you know, it's one of those things that even our nursery, you know, rooms have outside of them. If your child has this, this, or this, you know, please keep them home.
Are you anti-vaccine, Brian?
No. I don't necessarily care.
All right, well, that was Brian's plug.
Stop bringing your sick kids to church.
Yeah, and that's why the whole family stays home.
I didn't say that.
Yeah, well, it happened. It's crazy.
To blow that poor kid's nose.
Yep, mm-hmm. They take turns.
That song is timeless. It needs to be redone.
All right, well, let's wrap up this podcast. Thanks for listening, y'all, and we'll see you in church where we have actual pews for you to sit on. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.